Did you know you could sponsor Nerd and Tie? That's right. For just $20, we'd read your name here and say how great you are. We'd talk about how fly you look in those jeans today, because they're just kicking. And frankly, we would just think you're an amazing human being. All you have to do is go to nerdandtie.com and click on the sponsorship information on the right or at the bottom on the mobile site. You know you want to do it.
On this episode, this Fortnite episode of Nerd and Tie, we discuss Satoru Iwata's passing, Sleepy Hollow and Bones is going to be crossing over, the Lone Gunmen are going to appear in an X-Files revival episode, San Diego Comic-Con happened, and Jurassic Park 5 is going to be a thing that's going to be on the screen in a couple of years. It also in your mail. All this on this Fortnite Nerd and Tie. Can you guys tell that I've been out of it for about 4 weeks? That was...
only kind of.
Holy cow, man.
Welcome back. But it's been
Four weeks, David Blaine.
Since I've talked to you guys. And we're on a weird night tonight. Normally we record on Sunday nights.
But today we're doing a Monday.
Today we're doing it on a Monday, and we're doing it a week after another episode that wasn't really... an episode.
Yeah, so everybody who hasn't listened to the special we put out a week ago, the Secret Podcasts compilation, should go listen to it, because that episode in 4 weeks is disappearing from the internet.
Forever.
Mind you, the Secret Podcasts contained within it will still be available to listen to. In fact, actually, the final one that we put in that compilation isn't going into the Secret Podcast folder until we pull that episode, if that makes sense.
Got it. So you have a little bit of time to listen to the Secret Podcast before it goes back into the Secret Podcast.
Before you have to go and find the Secret again.
We should really move that link, though. I think people are starting to get smart as to where it is.
They're allowed to get smart to where it is.
Okay.
They're allowed. And that's how I get them to download the viruses. I mean... Listen to the episodes.
Well, that explains a whole lot of what's wrong with my computer.
Well, but, you know, like, we are back. We are back after about a week off. Well, 3 weeks, I guess.
Yeah.
And we're all here. We're all back together. I'm happy to be back with everybody. And we got a lot to talk about tonight. A lot has happened over the last 3 weeks. Nick, what do we got?
Of all the time for us to take a break.
Of all the time for us to take a break right before San Diego Comic-Con and all that good stuff, right? And we just lost Nick.
Well, we're going to start off this this episode on a bit of a somber note.
Yeah.
Hello?
You're
Hello?
Here.
Dang it.
You're fine, Nick.
I'm here.
Let us continue to be sad. Yes, we can hear you.
All right. Anyway, we're going to start off this episode on a somber note, this outing, because Nintendo head representative, along with genius programmer and game designer Satoru Iwata, tragically passed away on July 11th due to some complications with his health. He was far, far, far too young, and it left – it was amazing seeing the internet community come together just remembering this pioneer in game design.
Absolutely.
Satoru Iwata, I think, obviously he was a sitting CEO, and he was the first CEO of Nintendo to not be a member of the family that founded Nintendo. Nintendo and Nintendo's been around for, you know, long before the video game, explosion, because they originally started out as a card game company.
They're from the Meiji Restoration.
Yeah, but they've only had like four CEOs.
Which
because the CEO before Iwata had been CEO for most of the 20 was CEO for almost all of the 20th century. For most of it, Iwata was still a member of the family to a degree where he was married to a member of the family. But Iwata was he was primarily a game developer, and so he pulled Nintendo out of darkness pretty much when he came to power in the early 2000s post GameCube. And I mean, he, you know, while the Wii U hasn't been a high note for Nintendo, the fact is that with his passing, Nintendo was in a much better position than it was when he took over the company. So. He was a pioneer. He had a passion for the
he was a video gamer at heart.
And you know, there's a lot of people out there that run businesses, run companies, that are the heads of things, that you never see them really. There's not a lot of sincerity and what they talk about when they talk about how much they love what they do, but Iwata, I think, was one of the exceptions, because everything he did was just in an effort to make video games more fun for people.
Whenever he was in public, he was always very warm and excited about what he was doing. He clearly had a very good sense of humor. Once again, like, just his ability as a programmer is astounding. If you just look at some of the stuff that he did.
the story about, I believe, was it Smash Brothers Melee? I believe it was Melee.
Yeah.
About how he basically jumped in, rolled up his sleeves, and helped debug everything so that it could be out on time.
A couple of the, I believe it was Pokemon, the Gold and Silver games, he was a key in getting those done. Actually, like, reworked the program himself, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he just, you don't see a lot of heads of companies jump in there like he did.
And
to make it better.
Not to sound like I'm falling back on stereotypes either, but like, so often you see, pardon me. So often you see these Japanese businessmen at press conferences or anything like this, and they always look very serious. And it's hard to find pictures of Iwata where he's not smiling
or doing something ridiculous. Even mm-hmm. I mean, one of my favorite moments was at Nintendo's E3. They did the digital event rather than actually be at E3, and it came back from a demo about something, and he's just standing there holding the bananas, like, mm-hmm. like, there was no explanation. It had nothing to do with it. He's just holding a banana like Yorick's skull in Hamlet, and then just turns the camera. It's just like, what on? It's great. This guy is great.
And yeah, he is, like, no question he'll be missed. Really, it's sad we lost him so soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but I, for one, am happy that he made Nintendo what it was, and that really, that he, in a lot of ways, he made video gaming such a nicer and better place. Things are so dark and grimy in so many parts of gaming right now, and then you look at Nintendo, and they're still bright and colorful. And
We need happier things. We need video games to be fun for people, because that's what he always intended them to be, and that's what Iwata thought that they should be. And he's right. They need to be fun.
Yeah, and so unfortunately, we were poorly timed with our micro break that we take every summer from doing new episodes, because this, mm-hmm. you know. And I think if you really want to listen to some wonderful stuff about Iwata, go to FamicomDojo.tv. They did a memorial podcast, which I don't think we could even get close to matching. And
no, we
go listen to that.
Yeah, the guys at Famicom, they know their Nintendo. Rest in peace, Iwata. You were amazing.
So
promoting that Famicom Dojo and Nerd and with our Nerd and Tie place is almost like a crossover. And
Famicom, my God!
A Famicom Dojo Nerd and Tie crossover would not be out of
this
like
the most
the
tasteless
realm of
transition ever.
Well, this is not exactly a tasteful story, Trey. Let's be honest here.
Well, okay.
That's the thing. No. But Fur's right. I mean, a Famicom Dojo Nerd and Tie crossover, that sounds kind of reasonable.
We've had Sean on the show multiple times.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, exactly. But, that would work.
But because we always need proof that we're slipping further and further out of the realm of sanity into an eternally dark void that we're never going to ever be able to get out of. Fox has announced a further step into that void because they're going to have a crossover between Sleepy Hollow and Bones.
Bum, bum, bum?
Yes. The
well, that
show,
makes perfect
pretty
sense.
Much like the show that's a crime procedural that features a lot of great witty banter back and forth about the human condition. And
it's almost wholly based on science.
And it's almost wholly based on science. It's going to be crossed over with a kind of a crime-type procedural that features a guy that's been transported here from the 18th century and features the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Because that makes
sense. Why not?
Sense. Oh, my
yes,
God.
2016, for the 2015-2016 season, Sleepy Hollow and Bones are going... Oh, my. I can't believe I'm actually saying this.
At least Booth is going to be ready for it.
Well,
Booth knows this territory.
So,
he's set.
So I actually watch both of these shows. I watch Bones.
He'll be good.
And I have to say, this is the most confusing crossover I've ever heard. But more importantly, sorry. My reactions were as follows. First, what the heck? Then the nerd in me went, oh, that means that one time that Booth hallucinated that ghost of his friend who actually seemed to move something in the object might not have been a brain tumor hallucination. Because and the psychic powers of that one psychic character actually can fit into the world now that apparently the demons walk the earth. That was my second thing. Then my third thing is like, oh my God, that means during all these moments when the world was about to end during Sleepy Hollow, all that stuff was happening during these stupid, stupid banter moments and Bones that I was watching. And lastly, that means like an angel's flying around.
There have been some kind of weird supernatural-ish episodes of Bones recently. I kind of gave up on that show.
Well, they've always been interspersed.
Mm-hmm.
But mostly it's just been like the hinting at that, like the psychic played by Cyndi Lauper, you know, it's Booth.
There was that random episode from a ghost perspective. that was
oh,
actually
I
what made me
forgot
drop the
about
show,
that.
That's why I stopped watching Bones. I was just like,
I
no,
forgot about that. Okay. So I Bones just is that show that is like, it's kind of it like, it's just good enough to keep me watching, but every once in a while, like literally every episode, there's that moment that makes you go, oh, this is just so bad. Like, but I still watch it. But that show has been on for way too long.
Yeah. When did it actually start? I mean, it's got to be coming, what, into its like eighth season?
I think this is going to be season 11.
I would say, yeah, it's in double digits. It's definitely in double digits.
I'm going to use the Google.
How do crime procedurals last that long without recycling storylines over and over
well,
again?
Well, what they did on Law and Order when that ran for, like, you know, almost 20 years, what they did on that show was they just recycled detectives. let's see here. How many seasons do we have? Yeah, season – it's been 10 – yeah, this will be season 11 this upcoming season.
This is insanity. But this is even like – how did this even get pitched? Like, hey, guys, let's have a crossover with, like, Sleepy Hollow and something. I don't know. Why not Bones? Like, I'm just throwing it out there, guys. Let's do it.
Brr.
And, but, like, did somebody maybe not stop this? Like, were they ready to film this? And they were like, hey, well, can you believe we're actually filming a Sleepy Hollow Bones crossover? I can't.
It is the end of all that is good.
I'm probably gonna watch this just to see if I get
absolutely will.
From it.
I absolutely will watch this because this is gonna be insane.
Yeah.
I'm just calling it right now. I'm probably going to get Dane Bramage. Really.
I will survive with only minimal brain dabblage.
Dear Lord.
Oh, my
dear. Dear Lord.
Well, it's not going to be as weird as the Gotham Survivor crossover that's going to be happening. And
so, apparently, like, I've made the mistake of reading an article about Gotham. Mm-hmm. And apparently, Barbara, the supposed mother of the Barbara Gordon we're all familiar with, Barbara apparently killed her parents or something.
Yeah, that the season finale was this insane pile of what the effery.
She's going to end up in Arkham? I don't know. I don't know what any of this means.
All I know, the only thing I know for sure about Gotham is that regular listener Arkhamize writes some of the funniest just write-ups about the show, and I'm encouraging him to start a blog about it.
We should ask him to write up those for our site.
That's a really good idea.
Arkhamize, if you're listening, and we know you are because you're one of the few people who actually does listen, we would love to host your write-ups of Gotham Season 2 because every other blog's doing recaps, so why can't we?
Exactly.
Only ours will be better because we think the show is awful.
All I know from him is that it's gotten to the point that his when he visits his family, he's not allowed to sit with them when they watch Gotham because they don't like his snarkiness.
Arkhamize has a family? I don't believe it.
Yeah, totally.
I don't accept it. He came out of a plant.
His mom makes delicious cookies.
I've never met his mom or had her delicious cookies, so as far as I know, she's from Canada, which we all know isn't a real place.
For all I know, she's a plant.
Arkhamize.
Prove us wrong, Arkhamize.
Prove us wrong, Arkhamize.
He'll be at GeekCon. He can prove you wrong.
Oh, boy, boy. We'll be at GeekCon.
We will.
We'll all.
We'll be live at GeekCon. It'll be wonderful.
And talking about really cool big things.
And making massive announcements that we won't reveal until that weekend.
But we're going to hint a lot at them.
Wink, wink. Whole not world's going to change. If you live in a specific radius of a place and you happen to think specific things are your whole world.
Yeah, then it might. So three of you.
Yeah, no. It's
a game changer for three of you.
If the thing we're doing is your game, it will change it.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be great. All right. We should probably move on from the insanity that is the Bones Sleepy Hollow crossover.
Oh my god! Well, this thing is just insane. I cannot begin to. It's Fox is just like unable to look at something and say, I don't need to do something stupid with this. Speaking of Fox doing weird and stupid things, this January, most of our listeners and viewers and readers, because we have all three of those things, know that the X-Files is coming back for a new season after, being off the air for, forever. And, in the quest for more money because they made a lot of money off the 24 revival. We've all known that, a lot of the major actors are coming back, including, obviously the stars of, David Duchovny and, Jillian. See, it's always Gillian Jacobs, Gillian Anderson. Gillian Jacobs, Gillian Anderson. Gillian Anderson. Obviously, we're back along with Mitch Pileggi, whoever the heck I'm supposed to pronounce those two G's in the middle of your name, Skinner. All of them are back, but Dean Haglund, who plays one of the Lone Gunmen, announced on Twitter that the Lone Gunmen are coming back, which the Lone Gunmen appeared in over 40 episodes and had their own spin-off series that ran for a season and are fan favorite characters. There's a slight problem with the Lone Gunmen coming back, though.
What's that, Trey?
And spoilers for the last season of the X-Files, they're dead. They're dead. They got killed. They heroically sacrificed themselves. They died.
They're worm food.
Was it stupid that they died? yes, it was stupid that they died, but they did die. They had a funeral. And the last time we did, it is true, we saw them once after they died as either a ghost or hallucination that Mulder had. But overall, they dead. So how the Lone Gunmen are going to appear in the new season? Who knows? Are they going to be hallucinations? Alien clones? Did they fake their death in a way that makes no sense when you retcon it? I don't know.
Is this entire series going to be taking place inside of like a little snow globe where everything is off the table?
I think there's actually a way to link it to St. Elsewhere. So Richard Belzer's Munch showed up in Jose Chung's From Outer Space.
Munch showed up in Law and Order.
Law and Order had a crossover with
Six Degrees Mode.
I think you can make it work. I think there was like, because those St. Elsewhere characters ended up everywhere.
I was about to say, yeah, that's the thing is that like almost everything relates back to St. Elsewhere somehow or another.
Well, either that or Detective Munch. Because you can have, because he showed up in both the X-Files and Arrested Development besides his existence in the Homicide, Life on the Streets, Law and Order universe. Now, you know what I'd like to see is a Law and Order Sleepy Hollow crossover.
I've always wanted...
No, we have to stay on the same network. A Law and Order Grimm crossover.
Yeah.
Still doable.
Law and Order SVU and Grimm, because regular Law and Order is off the air, isn't it?
Well, yeah, they could bring it back, though.
Yeah, I can see that. One night special.
I want them to do one more Law and Order show, but I don't want it to be a Law and Order show set in reality. I want Law and Order Ankh-Morpork. I would watch the crap out of it.
Well, they were trying to make a show based on the Night Watch. But I don't know. I don't know what happened with that with Terry Pratchett's death. But anyways, the Lone Gunmen are coming back. And this is like, how do you...
We're descending into realms of madness in this episode.
We don't know how much they're going to show up. One episode, all the episodes.
Maybe they'll be robots.
Maybe they'll be the ones telling the story.
Maybe the season will somehow take place before the ending, and we're just not supposed to notice that all the actors are older, like the last episode of Enterprise.
Yes! Last episode of Enterprise takes place during the episode Pegasus of Next Generation, and that means between scenes, Riker got super fat and lost all the weight.
Maybe all the Next Generation takes place on the Enterprise where everybody is super thin. Or in the holodeck, rather. That's what it is.
The nice thing is you can ignore the events in that last episode of Enterprise and just say it's faulty historical records because it's all on a frickin' Next Generation holodeck.
And have it still be an all right series.
Well, you know what we did? It's my wife and I went and rewatched Enterprise. We rewatched all of Star Trek, and we watched that last episode of Enterprise during our Next Generation rewatch, where we paused Pegasus, went and inserted that episode, and then went back to the Next Generation episode. And then when we rewatched Enterprise, we just stopped with the second to last one, which serves as a better finale.
That's actually probably a good life choice.
I think so, because then by the time you get to Enterprise, you've already gone through Deep Space Nine and Voyager, and so you've forgotten that awfulness, and you don't have to watch it.
Yay!
So, that's the thing that happened.
So be on the lookout for the Lone Gunmen in the new X-Files series.
Thanks, Fur, for interrupting Nick.
Oh, no, I didn't have anything really important.
But I was setting you up.
Oh.
Because that's the thing that happened.
Well, that is a thing that happened. And you know what else happened? San Diego Comic-Con. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We are late to the party.
the biggest nerd event of the summer, and we're only talking about it several weeks after any of its relevance.
Woohoo!
Oh, sad.
Don't worst let time use. Special and break.
We actually, you know, we're only just finding out about it because Trey bought a new telegraph wire system for all of our news. We don't use the internet anymore. it's all wired into us, and it's really hard finding a wire service still in So let's go over what happened, I guess, there.
A lot of things did. I mean, like, I don't think we need to go over everything, but we could talk about some of the highlights. Like, everyone lost their crap over DC releasing two really embarrassing trailers.
Slow your roll.
No, I'm not slowing my roll. I really thought both Suicide Squad and Batman v Superman were embarrassing.
What was wrong with Suicide Squad?
I didn't even mind the Batman v Superman trailer, and I have everything against this movie. I thought it was a great trailer, and I'm kind of excited for the movie now.
Because it looks like a good Batman movie. And an awful Superman movie, but the Batman half looks good.
And Jesse Eisenberg looks amazing as Lex Luthor.
No, he doesn't.
I love Nolan.
No, he
looks ridiculous.
He certainly does not.
But he looks better than Gene Hackman did with the toupee.
But he's trying to be Gene Hackman. That's the thing that makes me sad.
I liked his dialogue, the way he delivered it.
I liked his delivery. I think the wig looks ridiculous, but on the other hand, Lex Luthor's had hair like that in the comics at a couple of points, so...
Also, Gene Hackman kind of immortalized that look, so...
Well, no, yeah. I mean, like, even with the long hair, like...
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, it helps that, you know, the Lex Luthor cloned himself and did some other stuff, and
it's all very confusing.
Well, that's four times.
Well, I'm sure John Peters is really happy. For those of you who've seen the movie An Evening with Kevin Smith, Kevin Smith talks about the time he tried to write a Superman movie for producer John Peters, who still is working on the Superman movies, where he insisted to Kevin Smith that there be a fight scene featuring Superman's guards. And lo and behold, there are definitely army guys with Superman logos in this. And so I'm happy Superman's guards are finally a thing.
Okay. You know what? I was really excited.
The Superman half's going to be terrible. The Batman half's going to be good.
The Batman stuff looked great. Are you kidding me? I had a brief heart attack when we got that image of the Jason Todd Robin outfit with "Jokes on You, Batman" written on it in blood. Like, yes!
I'll admit, I was really happy to see, I did love the Batman stuff. I loved seeing Ben Affleck Batman literally do the Dark Knight Returns pose.
Yeah, that was
in one of the bits. That was really great. The Robin costume, I'm really glad that they're acknowledging that Robins exist in this universe, but I was sad with the lack of color, in everything in these movies, so.
Well, Zack Snyder's allergic to it.
No, yeah.
We got enough Wonder Woman to let us know that they're going to promote the hell out of her being in the film without telling us anything about Wonder Woman in the movie. So,
granted, how much of that do you think is them trying actually taking notes from the Marvel Black Widow fiasco and saying, "Don't let this happen"?
I think it's called. They think they can get a lot of positive press from featuring Wonder Woman in the movie. So. Hopefully she's significant, and I don't know what Gal Gadot is like as an actress, so
I'm not so much worried about her. I'm worried about Wonder Woman as directed by Zack Snyder and written by David Goyer, because yeah, I've already seen what they've done to Superman, and I don't expect anything better for Wonder. Actually, I kind of expect worse for Wonder Woman, because I've seen how both of them handle women characters.
Well, and we know they're going with the new 52 origin and not the classic origin, but that's DC Comics' fault and not theirs. But as long as her character is played correctly, and, you know, her solo film won't be written by them, so, you know. That's
the
good news.
See, the thing is, the still that part of me that's like, I don't believe DC is doing the movie until I see the cast in the trailer.
Oh, I know.
Because they have put out like new list of what they're of the movies they're going to make. Like every 2 or 3 years, they have a new one.
Yeah.
Because remember, their old list didn't have Wonder Woman on it at all.
Right. It's the reason why I'm optimistic about it is because Suicide Squad is happening.
And the Suicide Squad trailer, actually, I thought, like, looking at it, it had more positives than negatives.
Yeah, it's
I wasn't feeling it at all. As a Suicide Squad fan, I didn't feel that trailer at all.
See, I loved it, but it's – I mean, it didn't tell me – I mean, it's the problem of being a trailer where it's not telling me the parts that I'd actually be worried about. Like, I get worried about Harley Quinn representation that doesn't make her intelligent enough because she's a freaking psychiatrist. Like, she went to medical school. Like – she's Dr. Harleen Quinzel. But so I want to make sure that that's still like, but I mean, the visuals all match the stuff that we've seen going back to Batman, the animated series. So that's fine with her. And so I'm fine with the personality seems okay so far.
I'm not feeling Deadshot yet though. Like,
yeah, Will Smith, what we saw, I wasn't Will, like super
Deadshot's
impressed.
Deadshot's supposed to be like this smart ass who's, you know, never taking things super seriously, and you never see him. I shouldn't say you never see him. Like, he has his PTSD moments, but for the most part, you see him as a guy who puts on a lot of bravado, and Will Smith just looked sad and like he didn't want to be there. Like, he still looks sad and like he doesn't want to be there.
Well, I say give it a shot, and I say, you know, honestly, I don't give a crap about Deadshot most days, so.
Sorry, Deadshot's one of my favorite DC villains. I'm gonna hold this to a pretty high standard.
Okay, well, and you're allowed to. I'm just saying that, like, that wasn't a concern. I mean, honestly, the only thing that, you know, I'm only not that, you know, into is just Jared Leto's The Joker. Not because of any of the stuff people have been complaining about, but just because I'm getting a little tired of the Heath Ledger impersonation. Because the Heath Ledger version of the Joker was, while he was he's very good in the role, it is nowhere near my favorite representation of the character. I mean, true, I'm a big Cesar Romero fan, so that falls into play. But, you know, it's, so, I mean, I can appreciate the performance, and it won't bother me, per se, but I'm just disappointed that he took it that direction.
Yeah, when I heard him basically doing the Heath Ledger voice, I was honestly really disappointed.
Yeah, so
because that was just Heath Ledger's thing. Other Jokers don't need to sound like that.
So on the good news front, that I think most of us can get behind, is that there, obviously, we all knew there was going to be a new Batman movie because, you know, Batman,
right?
But Ben Affleck is going to actually direct it.
Yeah, I'm really good with that.
Yeah, no, it's...
I'm stupid good with that.
It's, you know, I know we made fun of the Batfleck thing right away when he first got cast, or mostly Fur did, because Fur can only think of Good Will Hunting whenever he thinks of Ben Affleck.
It's my first movie, I think, that I saw Ben Affleck in, and...
See, I started with Kevin Smith movies, with Mallrats, so...
I don't remember what my first Ben Affleck movie was, but I'm really excited.
They say you never forget your first, Nick.
If it's in a very uncomfortable place, like the back of a Volkswagen. But
well, Affleck's a great director.
Argo was great. Did he direct? What was that cop one that he did a couple of years ago or a few years ago? That's going to bug me. I enjoyed it.
But he's a fantastic director, and he has a love for the character already, and he's co-writing with Geoff Johns. I mean,
oh my God, yes,
yeah. Like, there's, where is the bad part in this?
Yeah, no, it's Ben Affleck as
Gone Baby Gone. That was it.
Okay.
Yeah, Ben Affleck Batman movie where I don't have to be angry about them screwing up Superman. That sounds even better.
Yeah, no. So yeah, no. So I've got big hopes for that. So I know this wasn't announced as part of San Diego Comic-Con, but what are your thoughts on Marissa Tomei as Aunt May?
I'm okay with that. Like, I mean, sure. it's going for the more, again, kind of going at the Ultimates route where Aunt May was a bit younger, but...
See, for me, it's a little weird because I should, I'm of the opinion I should never find Aunt May hot. I mean...
It's the best problem to have, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
I mean...
I will say, I love the new Flash and Arrow costumes. I mean, the Flash one is only a slight modification, but... While I like the old Arrow costume more, switching Stephen Amell over to a closer to the current comics version is not a bad move.
Well, it's funny, because isn't the current comics version... Wasn't that changed to be slightly more like the Arrow version?
A little bit, but like, they got rid of the sleeves on the Arrow version, which the version hasn't had sleeves for a while.
Okay.
So it's cause, after the events of
show, I don't watch and comic, I don't read regularly. So
after the events of season 3's finale, which is probably going to shake things up like a crap ton. They basically said that they have to retire the old costume. So,
because yeah. Last time I read a Green Arrow comic, he was fighting Onomatopoeia.
Dear. Oh, also the first episode of season 4 of Arrow is going to be titled Green Arrow. So,
yeah. Well, cool. He's been posting on Facebook. I think the first post Stephen Amell made after San Diego Comic Con was something like Enter the Green Arrow or something like that.
Hmm.
And it showed the new outfit. And...
Not technically Comic-Con, but Arrow may be saving Constantine. Maybe. Yay.
Well, they really want to. The producers have like a hard-on for bringing John Constantine over. Now that his show's canceled.
That would be the greatest thing ever for me.
Well, because they want to go miss. They're going to like the mysticism with season 4. It's John, you know, there are other characters they can use, but if they can get, like, they have to get permission to use John Constantine from DC, and then they need to, and then they want it to be Matt Ryan as John Constantine, so they need the actor to be available. So it's those two things, but that would make the Constantine series canonical to the Flash and Arrow.
Why not?
Which I'm still good with. It just means that the rising darkness might, you know, affect more people than
might
just
be Ra's al Ghul.
British guy.
I love the Maybe. Story behind the name pronunciation, why they were mispronouncing it.
I think it's a good lampshade.
That was the
honestly.
Best cover. That was a fantastic cover
so,
on their
so
part.
For the listeners and viewers who aren't aware, Ra's al Ghul, and that's how you're supposed to say his name, often has his name mispronounced in various media as Ra's al Ghul. Like you saw in Nolan's trilogy, they were calling him Ra's al Ghul. On Arrow, when they first brought the character in, because no one had bothered to tell the people on the set how to pronounce the name, they had called him Ra's al Ghul for several episodes. But then when he actually showed up, he called himself Ra's al Ghul because a guy knows what his own name is. I mean, I guess that. You know, seems logical, but and then the inconsistencies between pronunciation was explained. The members of League of Assassins would call him Ra's al Ghul, pronounce his name correctly, but people who weren't were mispronouncing it on purpose to be disrespectful to him.
Which totally makes sense within the universe, even if it is
well,
just
once you've
up for
started
one big
airing
continuity.
Episodes, you gotta come up with a reason if you want to correct.
That's called lampshading in the industry, and some people are better at it than others.
Well, that's more course correcting. Lampshading is if they said on the show, why is everyone mispronouncing his name?
Well, maybe they will. Maybe they'll bring it up, and then it'll...
Lampshading is when you point out the thing on the show like, wow, it was really easy to blow up that building. Who would have thought that critical structure would have been so... Like,
Right. Or my favorite lampshade ever in a Futurama when Bender gets sent back to Earth by God and Leela just says, that is probably the least likely thing to ever happen.
Yeah. So, yes.
I'm trying to Comic-Con, like, I'm trying to think if there was anything else that was really all that exciting.
This is not a big notable Comic-Con for a lot of stuff. The Deadpool trailer came out. We're going to see a real release of the Deadpool trailer probably over the next week or two, I'm betting, because they just submitted it for, like, ratings stuff. And I saw the shaky cam version, and it was, you know, it was entertaining. They made jokes about, you know, please don't put me in a green CGI suit.
I love the poster.
The poster is really funny.
From the studio that ruined Deadpool.
Yeah. That was pretty great.
It's nice to see them owning their mistake.
And also we've gotten to see the first footage of the Vixen series, where they kind of put out a teaser video of that, which is the animated series set in the Arrow Flash Legends of Tomorrow universe, where Cisco is apparently going to be a much larger character than I expected. And it's also going to help them introduce metahumans not related to the accident to the franchise. And that's because that series is an animated series going up on CW Seed, the website. Mm. But they've cast an actress as Vixen doing the voice who matches the body type, so she could play the character on any live action crossovers.
Perfect.
So, yeah,
that's cool.
But we got to see the first footage of that. And by the way, animated Cisco looks way too built. I'm just saying it. Cisco is like super buff.
I stand by what I said earlier. Barry got all of Oliver's muscles. Barry also way too built. And the line for Oliver looks way too.
Way too skinny, yeah.
Skinny with how Stephen Amell looks, so.
Yeah, it's, but it looks entertaining, you know, so. Tune in your computer to that.
I'll definitely watch it.
Yeah, it's, CWC is an online network. Sadly, they don't have a Roku channel, so I'm going to actually watch something on my computer.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, the only other things that I can think of. No, I was just thinking the only other things I know that were really noteworthy from this Comic-Con was like Conan O'Brien cosplaying. That was kind of cool. He was the Doof Warrior from Mad Max,
right?
Oh, well, I saw the video of that. Yeah, that he did that. Yeah, where he actually did the. Yeah.
That was pretty funny. Like the only other thing that I felt was really noteworthy at this year.
Yeah, you know what? It's like San Diego Comic-Con has become such an event, but like, I mean. Like, the Star Wars panel was supposed to be very scripted, and so, like, even though people who went there got to go see, you know, had the opportunity to go see a really great concert, it wasn't, like, there wasn't a lot of news released besides, you know, like, oh, we're all happy to be working with practical effects. We did confirm that Simon Pegg has a part in the movie, in the teaser reel they showed from behind the scenes.
Yay!
So, yay, although he'll probably have an alien head on, so you won't know which one he is. I mean, it's like there's just not a lot of news that came out this year. Marvel Studios Marvel Studios didn't do anything this year, which we knew they weren't going to for a while. San Diego Comic-Con is kind of becoming. It's even like 5 years ago, San Diego Comic-Con was much more significant because. A lot of the stuff there wouldn't come out until it came into text, but now more like some of that stuff wouldn't come out as quickly in articles, but now all that stuff's getting leaked ahead of time. The news is the stuff they're talking about has already been in the news for like a week by the time they get there. It's just become this weird behemoth, which, you know, like I've never had any desire to go to San Diego Comic-Con, and I have family in San Diego, so like I could probably go for, I mean, obviously it's not cheap to go there, but I could probably like save a hotel room. But I still wouldn't.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know. This wasn't right. That exciting.
All right. Talking about things that nobody cares about. The biggest movie this year has obviously been Jurassic World.
Without a doubt, it has made all the money on Earth.
Oh yeah, setting massive box office records, including taking biggest opening weekend. It's taken back its worldwide gross record. It's taken worldwide gross records from the Avengers. It's a big deal.
It's unstoppable.
Oh yes,
unstoppable.
Which is why no one should be surprised that Universal has announced that they are going to make a fifth Jurassic Park movie.
No.
Yep, starring Bryce Dallas Howard and Chris Pratt.
Of course they are.
It's going to be written by the same guys, but not directed because the director is off doing a Star Wars movie when they'd want to actually shoot this thing. But yeah, no, it's Jurassic Park 5. I refuse to call it Jurassic World 2, unless they call it that. If they call it Jurassic World 2, I will call it that and be fine with it, but it's Jurassic Park 5. Until it gets a name.
I'd still probably call it Jurassic Park 5, even if they call it Jurassic World 2.
Well,
because that's dumb.
Yeah. Now, personally, I'd like it if they brought back some of the earlier characters from the franchise. I mean, let's find out what mm-hmm. What Jeff Goldblum is doing. I want to know what Malcolm's doing, man.
He's got to be in the next movie, right? There's no way that Jeff Goldblum doesn't jump on that.
There's many ways where he wouldn't.
I'd say Jeff Goldblum's probably sitting at home, not jumping on it, even as we speak.
He's lounging back, and not wearing a shirt.
No, he's wearing a shirt. It's just open in the front.
Open in the front.
Yeah.
He's listening to the show and saying, "Yeah, right." There.
Yeah, no, Jeff Goldblum is going to write. We'll find out. He listens to the show. He's going to write us.
Clearly.
So.
Him and Archimedes, they listen to it together.
Yep, they hang out.
All the time.
They're close friends.
I don't know, I guess, one time when they were drunk.
I guess I'm okay with another Jurassic Park movie. Why not?
I'm okay with it. I thought Jurassic World was entertaining. I think... it might be interesting to see what the... It's going to have a new director, so maybe the new director will make the new one scary.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, because they still want that sweet, sweet family money.
Well, because, I mean, that's the thing, is I really... Jurassic World, I liked a lot. It was an action film much more than a thriller that you got out of the original one. Because, honestly, you go to the original Jurassic Park, and that scene with the raptors in the kitchen will just freak you out,
It's terrifying, yeah.
Yeah, so all I'm saying is please make the next one scary. Well, you got to think that they abandoned the island at the end of Jurassic Park 4, Jurassic World, so maybe someone's got to go back.
Not it.
I can do it.
Not it.
Okay.
I don't mind.
Fur's on it. So when you get to Isla Nublar, what you want to do is tuck and roll.
Yeah, well, that's fine. I've been doing that.
That way they can get you in one bite, and then you don't have to like go through the agony of watching your arm chopped off.
Bring it.
Let the T-Rex take you. Just,
Bring it on.
Fly back and think of England. So, yeah, Jurassic Park 5 is the thing that is happening.
That it is.
You know what's also happening?
What?
I think the mailbag is happening.
Mailbag sure is.
We do have stuff in the mailbag. Let's just open it. I'm just...
Singular stuff.
I'm opening it up right...
What's the singular stuff?
Right now.
A stuff?
A thing?
There's one a letter.
Item. There's a letter?
Yeah.
In the mailbag? No!
Mailbag.
Get out.
I just found it.
You're
fired. I'm opening it. I'm unfolding the letter because we only get snail mail letters, obviously.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Right.
They come through our contact form.
This is from our Al Langland, and our subject is Ant-Man. How is it going, nerds in your ties? So I checked out Ant-Man last Friday at the 4-screen theater of little old Siren, Wisconsin.
Remember when great the tornadoes took out the tornado siren and Siren?
I do not, but that's pretty ironic.
I do.
Great place of stadium seating, which was cool. But anyways, on to the movie. I really enjoyed it. It was nice to see a different kind of movie where the whole world wasn't in imminent danger. It was kind of cool to see a heist pulled off in the MCU. Character development was great. The scenes were funny. Paul Rudd makes a great Ant-Man. I think being a comedian helped his role a lot. Also, to add to this great movie... This is a great movie to see Paul Rudd step up his game instead of doing comedies, even though his comedy movies are usually good. That being said, I just want to chime in. Ant-Man is a very funny movie. Overall, I never lost interest. There was plenty of balance between comedy and seriousness, only to throw in some jokes to lighten the mood before it got too serious. I also enjoyed all the mentioning of Iron Man and the Avengers. My only concern, which I don't have an issue with personally, is the possibility of the manufactured controversy over Ant-Man beating up the Falcon. Sorry for the spoilers, guys. It's a possible issue of race being involved in a simple plot involving Ant-Man getting past a guard. I guess I didn't read it that way. Maybe I'm thinking.
Yeah, but, I don't.
To sum it up, yeah. The movie was excellent. I think if you're into heist movies, this will be up your alley. Marvel never disappoints me, so that's my opinion. Hope you guys feel the same way. Well, as it so happens, Langland, I'm the only member of the podcast crew that has actually seen the movie Ant-Man.
Yeah, I haven't gotten around to it yet.
So if you would, for all of you listeners who would like an in-depth review, take a look at nerdandtie.com. We'll be posting the before and after Raina and I recorded. And
is he still talking about Ant-Man?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry. Okay.
I've been not listening.
I think okay. He's done with the spoiler parts, right?
Are you more? The closest thing to a spoiler is something that was in the trailers. I was just going to say I didn't think. Langland says there's an issue. I didn't see it as an issue. I was just really happy to see that character in the movie, and it explained why he wasn't in Avengers much. So, yeah.
Everyone should go read old strips of Walt Kelly's Pogo.
Actually, you should go read Pogo, and you should read that Alan Moore Swamp Thing issue where there was a Pogo Swamp Thing crossover. It is art. No, really. There's a Pogo and Swamp Thing crossover.
That sounds amazing.
It is. It really is. It's done from Pogo's perspective. So all of the humans and Swamp Thing's dialogue is like all weird shapes and such, as if they don't actually understand what he's saying. And they had Pogo as some type of an alien beast in that one, but it had a really strong... maybe a little heavy-handed, but really strong environmental and, message about just how humans behave and how we treat the things around us. It's a really, really good issue.
That sounds very Pogo-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Because Pogo is a very political comic.
So did you
answer Langland's letter well?
I think I did. Langland just gave his thoughts on the movie, and there was one scene that he wasn't sure on, and I basically said I was just happy to see this character included at all. If there's any controversy, it's definitely the lack of Wasp.
I will say I haven't read any controversy about Ant-Man. I go out for movie news all the time, and I think I would have noticed at least, nothing in a headline.
Okay, he was wondering if it was controversial that the titular white superhero has a brief fight with a black superhero.
Hmm. Well, that doesn't make... Well, yeah, now I know who it is, because it's only two people. Because there aren't that many black people in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah, sorry about that. Well, at least you know where he was while they were filming all that Avengers stuff.
Oh, dear Lord.
No, I really do think Ant-Man is a very, very funny movie. I thought it was very well handled. I think the only thing that you could say that there's any controversy over, I had never heard Langland's concern. I've never heard anyone express concern over that. The only concerns I've heard, which I've agreed with anyone who's made this complaint, it's that the lack of Wasp in the story and the fact that Evangeline Lilly's character is there and that they don't really do their explanation for why she isn't anting it up isn't super strong, I don't think.
Because she's not Paul Rudd.
Pretty much. That's they do come up with an in-universe explanation that kind of works, but then that there's still that part in my brain that's like, I really wish Wasp was here. I really, really wish Wasp was here. I like Wasp. Ant-Man kind of needs Wasp. Even George R.R. Martin is saying, it's getting a little weird how you treat the women, guys. You know something might be up.
I don't know. I have a hard time taking Mr. I've put like hundreds of rapes in my book seriously.
But that's because exactly what I'm saying. When even he is starting to question it, then I'm like,
unless Ant-Man secretly features hundreds of rapes.
Well, it doesn't, thank God. Well,
yeah. So George R.R. Martin can stick it. He can, when he stops writing women the way he writes women, I'll listen to his criticism of something in the Marvels. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
That was
it's
one
not
time
like the Gilmore Girls creator is complaining about it. It's George R.R. Martin.
We need to move on because I'm going to get onto my own angry rant about George R.R. Martin and that he doesn't understand Shakespeare. So
he doesn't understand history either.
We need to. Yeah.
Nor does he understand. George R.R. Martin is terrible. We said it. None of us like Game of Thrones. That's why we never talk about it. The only good thing about that show is that we do believe Peter Dinklage should be working as much as possible.
I've got my Greyjoy shirt on right now.
Shut up. You.
This is just really nuts.
I will punch you in the balls.
I kind of like
it. At GeekCon.
It's
in front of a live audience.
Like all shows, it has its issues, and like all book series, it has its issues.
Yeah, but I mean, not all book series have that many issues.
Yeah, but it's still like
there is a director for Game of Thrones who filmed a rape scene and didn't realize it was a rape scene.
Oh.
That,
word.
Yeah, that's yeah. Well, the TV show has.
Yeah,
I would
but
argue it has bigger problems than the books do in a lot of places.
Well, except that the books have, like, someone did a statistical breakdown, and the books have even more of it.
Oh, God. Yeah,
so, yeah.
There's definitely a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called George R.R. Martin likes writing scenes about people being raped. So somebody check his closet because he's all right. I'm sorry. No one writes that much about sexual assault.
We're
going to
have to put a trigger warning on this episode. Man,
yeah,
thanks,
yeah,
Frank.
Maybe.
On the other hand, it has a very good opening theme, and Peter Dinklage is a wonderful human being.
Yeah, except he was in that Adam Sandler movie, so I don't know.
That's a paycheck.
That's true. Everyone needs to pay rent, even me. Oh, God.
Look, if Adam Sandler said, hey, I'm going to pay you a lot of money to be in my movie. La-dee-da. That's my best Adam Sandler impersonation. If he did
that's
that.
That's a pretty good Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
I would say, okay.
I would do it, but I wouldn't
I
want
would
my
do
name
it.
On the movie. Like, I'd be credited as Alan Smithy.
I'd be
I
credited as Steve Buscemi Jr.
Can we just get to the Vomit Hat Steve challenge?
Let's look at what is the Vomit Hat Steve challenge?
Oh, my God. All right. So, what, Adam Sandler's too offensive for you?
That's right. We made it through talking about the problematic parts of George R. R. Martin, but as soon as Adam Sandler gets brought up, it's like, nope, no more. Totally
I can't take it. I can't take it. And I'm not stalling for time to load things up or anything.
Not at all.
So at this point of the episode, we are going to the Vomit Hat Steve Challenge.
Huzzah. My God.
All right. So for those of you who are unaware, every episode I pull out a book and I read a sentence from it. If you can guess what book that is, you get included in the Hall of Awesome. The Hall of Awesome members get their name read every single regular episode of the podcast, and they get included on a list on our website. That's it. That's the whole game. So the current members of the Hall of Awesome are as follows. Arkhamite, Zero, Rena Incenti, Cheesy McDamu, Krista, Slithery D, Shameless Otaku, The Random Ramblings Band, Corfan, Capito, Chris Graham, Lily Soros, and Paper Godzilla. Hooray.
Good work, team.
Good work, team.
If you guys could have seen me rock out while Trey listed those off. Like, just
all right, so out. So I've been for this, I'm continued to read from a book that no one has guessed yet. And I will now read you a sentence from said book. And this is your sentence. Frank's knees began to wobble. If you know what book that's from, go to nerdandtie.com and click on the contact form. And tell us, give us the name of the book and the author, and we will include you in the Hall of Awesome. Trust me, it's awesome place to be. Yo. So, word.
Right on. Well, with that, gentlemen, shall we take it home?
No.
I guess.
Okay. But I'm going to turn it. As always, thank you for joining us this fortnight on Nerd and Ty. As I'm Trey panics and says, oh no, about something, and that's never a good sign. But as always, I am Firsters.
I'm Trey Dorn.
And I'm Nick Izumi.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you in 2 weeks.
And please remember to subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher and rate and review us there while you're at it, because that would be awesome of you. Remember, in 4 weeks, we are going to be appearing at GeekCon in Madison on Sunday morning. So please show up to that convention.
Yeah.
And besides that, if you haven't listened to the Secret Podcast episode, that's going to disappear off the internet in 4 weeks from now. So if you haven't listened to it already, go do it. Or you'll be sorry.
Get on it. Just do it.
Nothing is impossible.
And remember to keep on Spockin' in the free world.
Don't let your dreams be dreams. Yesterday, you said tomorrow.
Get us out of here.